Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series of podcasts states, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. In the last podcast, we continued listening to Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from more than 30 years ago. In that particular broadcast, David and his wife Karen shared key information regarding the subject of preparing children for the public reading of Scripture. Today, we highlight a topic to which every pastor should pay particular attention, namely, the responsive reading of Scripture. And the key sentence for today, the responsive reading of Scripture focuses a congregation's attention on the powerful presence of God in His Word. Whenever a congregation reads responsively, I've noticed that people feel much more a part of the service, David. They feel more like participants than spectators.
Yeah, thanks for the review, Dean. I think that's helpful. It kind of gets us back into what we're talking about. I think they like it if what they're doing is meaningful. If they're just doing it and saying words, it's not nearly as significant to them as if they feel, I'm a part of what is going on. So to a degree, in the examples that we'll give, we say, how do we get them so they feel like they're literally participating and at the same time, understanding and enjoying what is going on. Some good illustrations in the broadcast coming up.
Well, I think we should go ahead and listen to that broadcast, and I hope our listeners to the podcast will enjoy it as much as we did walking down memory lane.
I think they will.
David and Karen continue now by considering a very special kind of congregational participation in Bible reading.
What's your favorite responsive reading? Favorite responsive reading, you ask? You mean like the kind you find in the back of the hymnal? That's right. What's your favorite one? You got to be kidding, you say. Well, in a way I am, but then people have favorite hymns, so my guess is that because people don't have favorite responsive readings, they're probably not that important to them. And what do you think? David Maines welcoming you to the Chapel of the Air in part 7 of a 14-part series called what, Karen?
It's called Down with the Dulls, and we mean down with the dulls in the public reading of Scripture.
And that involves many times responsive readings because people who are surveyed say that's kind of one of the areas where it's not too meaningful to them.
And I think the reason for that is because these are not thoughtfully presented. They're not practiced. We just flip to the back of the hymnal, and maybe those Scriptures fit with where the worship service is going, and maybe they don't.
I think it's important, then, when we do a responsive reading, that the leader tells the people why this section was chosen. It might even be wise to pause and say, now, the fourth verse here is the most important verse. You have to hear that well as it is read. Read through these verses here, too, silently, so it is that you know what you're going to be saying.
I think the worst approach would be to choose a responsive reading simply to have a responsive reading. It must have some means by which it amplifies or extends the morning worship.
Part of the problem with responsive reading is that it comes so fast that people don't have a chance to really think through what they're saying. So it's wise, in my mind, Karen, to pick passages that are very familiar. Let's illustrate, because a lot of times you can do more through an illustration than through explaining. This is Psalm 23. But the congregation has purposely been slowed down. One, they're going to hear the words of Christ that you will read, that relate to Christ being the good shepherd, and then they'll hear me kind of respond in a prayer almost. But it will go slow enough that as they take Psalm 23 verse by verse, they're having a chance to think about what they're saying.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Thank you, Jesus, for calling my name. How gracious of you this was.
considering that I had foolishly been deceived by the thief and robber. How proud and grateful I am now to be one who can testify with confidence that you, Lord, are my shepherd.
When he has brought out all his own, the good shepherd goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture.
Psalm 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
What the psalmist writes expresses what I too have known since responding to you, Lord. Better pastures than I ever knew existed. Water that satisfies the deepest of my thirst. Remind me to quickly flee the strange voice. There are many that call.
He who is a hireling.
David, again, what we're doing here is giving the congregation a scripted responsive reading. This is a pass out that the ushers have handed to the congregation along with their bulletin. And we are contrasting parallel scripture passages on the theme of the shepherd, the very familiar passage of the 23rd Psalm juxtaposed against Christ's words regarding himself being a shepherd. And also with that, then we have put a private prayer, which you have been reading, which amplifies the whole message of this responsive reading. It becomes very meaningful to the congregation who is participating in it.
Yeah, we've slowed the pace down a great deal so that they can actually absorb what's being said. I think, Karen, that we've also illustrated in this that it doesn't have to come from the back of the hymnal. There are people who are very creative. This is not a complicated responsive reading. And many people can put these together. Another thing I think that could be done with a reading like this is to say we're going to do it this Sunday, and then a couple Sundays from now we want to do it again, and then we'll do it again. If that sounds strange, that's how we do with the hymns. We say, oh, we really liked that hymn. Let's sing it again a couple Sundays from now, and after we get used to it, we'll make it a regular part of our repertoire as a congregation.
Let's go back and finish listening, and then be prepared for the additional portion of responsive reading that has been added to the end of the congregational reading.
Yeah, that's a surprise element, Karen, and I think one of the things that is needed to be had in our church services is a certain element of surprise, because people get so accustomed to what's going on that they just are always kind of saying, well, nothing different is going to happen. So we'll kind of put a little element and tag it on the end, and I think you'll like it.
Friend, but because of you, Christ, I fear no evil. And I suspect it will be, as with all such times, the greater the need, the more the awareness of your presence. I appreciate that arrangement.
Behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves are killed. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it, seized his servants and treated them shamefully. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven.
Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Lord, oftentimes I feel I don't fit this world. Then again, sometimes I sense I'm among the few who do. I guess the truth is that I'm one with those who live ahead of their time. Anxious for your kingdom to come, we live now by future kingdom standards. Enjoying banquet appetizers, anyway.
Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life.
Psalm 23:6. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Good psalmist, you say it well. Good shepherd, you make it well. Good soloist, now sing it well.
Thanks, Valerie. As a lot of you know, Valerie Bell is Karen's younger sister. Well, I hope I've whetted your appetite for tomorrow's broadcast when we'll share some more in the area of responsive readings. Use your imagination. Have men read, then women, the choir, staff. You can have the teenagers take a part, fathers, singles, ushers, the right side, left side, elders, whatever. It's endless. But I do hope that sometime when someone says, "What's your favorite responsive reading?" you'll actually have one.
David, as I listened to this broadcast, I could imagine a congregation reading the scriptures and experiencing the unity in Christ that should characterize God's people. and I particularly enjoyed the vocal solo from your sister-in-law, Valerie Bell.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I hadn't heard this for 30-some years, and I was wondering, what is that surprise going to be? But surprise has a big part of what goes on there, and when that music coupled with the public reading of Scripture, and they overlapped each other, I thought that is very beautiful. And when those things happen, people respond viscerally in a very positive way. So yes, it was very interesting to me. And again, those are very, very pleasant memories.
Indeed they are. And the lessons are key. And they're important lessons for pastors to take note of today. You can help make the worship experience come alive through the public reading of Scripture.
Yeah, you talked me into doing this, Dean. I was thinking, these are so old, nobody's going to be listening to them. And I don't know how you found these broadcasts. You always amaze me. But thank you for doing that. And I do think that people will say, yeah, this is very, very interesting and expanding my mind. Praise the Lord if that's happening.
Indeed. We thank you for joining us for our time together today. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have many resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.